Welcome back to the Hog Call Podcast. This is Doc Harper. I'm starting this over from our former leaders, Steven and John, who used to run this, and they recently retired. So I'm here now, and joining me for the first one that I'm doing is the editor of ArkansasSports360.com and reigning Mr. Arkansas, Chris Bond.
Hey, what's up, hey. Man?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for letting me hop on here. I had a good time with Steven and the guys on the old podcast, and mm-hmm. I was actually I think the Alec Baldwin of the Hog Call podcast, like Alec Baldwin on SNL, or John Goodman. Maybe I'm the John Goodman of the Hog Call podcast. But
is that where you hosted the most, or yeah. were the guest the most times, or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. So I'm honored to be back on here with this thing. I kind of figured y'all would a number at some point.
Well, the off season is almost over. I think by the time this thing is posted, we're going to be coming up right on media days, which I'm sure you're very excited about. Yeah. Do you like media days? Is that a fun thing for you?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's cool because it's kind of the first official, really football activity. You know, to let you know college football is really here. I guess it, mm-hmm. like at Arkansas Sports 360. You know, early to mid-June, we always put out the football preview, and that's kind of one little step towards football season. And right. then media day hits, and that's like the full-fledged, you know, dive into the college football pool. So, yeah, it's always pretty exciting. It's a little depressing because I know that means that, you know, sitting around in my pajama pants all day is about to come to an end. and then I'm really about to start working. But yeah, no, I look forward to media days.
Well, have you really had much time this off season to do that? I mean, it's been pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's been nuts. It's been the most memorable off season that I have been a part of, you know, since I got into this gig, and I don't know that it'll be topped anytime soon. I don't know that it ever will be. This is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, with just the coaching change in April and all the circumstances that led up to it, and then hiring.
Were you covering the Hogs in 07?
Yeah, I was.
So you put this higher than the Houston Nut email to Mitch Mustaine and.
Yeah, I do.
And Gus leaving and all that.
Yeah, I do, because I think, you know, Houston was probably on his way out at some point anyway. That just maybe kind of, that probably sped the process up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and you know, that all happened like over the course of the season, whereas this happened in April. You know, and then you have the whole weirdness of like what happened and. It was one of those stories that wasn't football related at all. Like it was,
mm-hmm.
it had a profound impact on the football program, but it really, honestly, the only part of the story that even remotely had anything to do with football was, you know, the fact that it was a member of the football staff. But otherwise it was just like, this was just bizarre. So yeah, I would rank it higher, than the Mustang Nut saga, but I would be willing to hear arguments otherwise.
I think social media probably helped push it up too, because it made it just such a common topic from everybody, no matter where they're from. And it was, social media was just starting out during the whole Nut deal, and it wasn't that big yet. But now it's obviously huge, and you go on Twitter or Facebook, and there are people from all over the country talking about it all the time. And making jokes about it all the time, or making funny GIFs or Photoshops or whatever, and
it
was memorable.
It definitely ramped it up. I mean, having the, because even, you know, even with like the Mitch thing, that played out on some level on a national scale, but I don't think anything like this. And unless you were like just a diehard college football fan, you probably were not paying attention to, oh, a coach didn't get along with his star quarterback. And, I mean, you probably weren't really paying attention to this. This was even interesting to, like, TMZ, Like this was this was on a whole nother level. And I know, like, my wife was just, she was just in Illinois for a week, and people up there were asking her about it. And so that, I mean, I just, like, people that weren't even college football fans. These right. were like diehard Miss America pageant people, and they they were asking about it, and they would have no business talking about college football.
So can we expect that to be a question during the Q&A on a telecast?
You know,
during Miss America,
I bet it'll come up next week at Miss Arkansas. I bet that gets asked in interviews. I don't know about Miss America, but yeah, this is a popular topic, and we're still talking about it, and I think we will be for a little while.
Well, let's move on a little bit. I know this is an exciting time there at the AS360 complex. With the magazine about to come out. So, I mean, I'm in it. A lot of people know I help out with 360, but I don't know anything else that's in it beyond what I wrote. And I don't even know how much of what I wrote ended up on the cutting room floor. So, sell it to us. What's in it? Are you excited about it?
There's not a word in here written by anyone other than Doc Harper. we just cut everything else out. No, man, really appreciate your contributions, and I think one of the things that I'm most proud of, I think, this year with the magazine, and it's 100 pages, and we made, you know, we could tell that people really were interested in the college football stuff that we do, obviously with Arkansas, mm-hmm. and then there's some interest elsewhere, but I think one of the things we added to the book this year that you were a big help on was kind of a look at the rest of the SEC, like what do other teams have? Who's Arkansas competing with? And so we did capsules for all the SEC teams and expanded them a little bit with the teams that are actually on Arkansas' schedule. I think mm-hmm. those turned out really good. And then, you know, we just have, you know, we have the stuff that you would expect, you know, kind of a look at Tyler Wilson and kind of a profile of John L. Smith and what he... Mm-hmm. you know, why he took this job and what he expects from this job. And then the cover story is Tyler, Niall, and Kobe, you know, three guys who, frankly, had an opportunity to go make a little bit of money at the end of last year. Tyler and Niall for sure. And I'd, you know, Kobe, I think Kobe had a, Kobe was the next guy on the list. He had a little bit of a decision to make. And so getting those three guys back in the fold, I think, is pretty big for Arkansas. So we take a look at them and at the SEC and all the other schools in the state. So there's a lot. There's a lot there. I could sit here and rattle on, like, each feature throughout the 100 pages, but that might get really boring mm-hmm. real quick. So I'll
– And it's not just Arkansas, is it? It's like – ASU and UCA, and is it still all the colleges in Arkansas?
Yeah, it's all the colleges. If you are an Arkansas Baptist Buffaloes fan, mm-hmm. then we have a half page just for you.
Hey, I wrote that one.
if you, we have an overview of the Sun Belt Conference. Obviously, Gus Malzahn at Arkansas State's a big story right now. So we take a look at him and kind of what got him to. From, you know, pretty remarkable, from Hughes, Arkansas, to high-profile college football coach, you know, in 16 years. It's a pretty big run. And so we look at him. If you're a Gulf South Conference, or now it's the Great American Conference, but if you're a SAU Mule Rider or you went to Washington or at Arkansas Tech, we've got a section for you. And then we take a look at the best recruits in the state at the high school level and the best teams. I mean, it's a pretty all-encompassing football preview. We don't get bogged down in kind of the minutia of who's going to start at left tackle for Hazen. We focus.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's primarily college stuff. I mean, you're as good a barometer as anybody. And I mean, you and I sat down and had a number of conversations about this book when we were in the planning stages, because you're not just, I mean, you don't just write for us. I mean, you're a college football fan. You're a football fan. And I said, Doc, what do we need to do with this thing? And so I think your input pretty invaluable. I don't know that you get paid any extra for that, but you know, it was.
It's not on the invoice Todd sent me today.
Well, maybe send in a new one with like intellectual.
It's the consultation fee.
Exactly. Yeah, you can be a consultant, but no, I mean, it just I think it came together really well. And I think if you're a college football fan in the state of Arkansas, I think you're going to be really, really happy with what's in the book this year.
You talked about Gus a little bit, and I got to tell you, I don't want to spend too much time talking about ASU because I know that'll make some people mad, but
yeah.
I'm really, really excited from a gambling standpoint of taking Arkansas State and the points against Oregon. I don't know what the line's going to be yet. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be big. And I really think ASU can do well.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think that, you know, getting this transfer running back, David Oku, who was, you know, he performed well in his 1 year in the SEC, and then he sat out last year. You know, adding a piece like that to a pretty experienced offense, I think, can help them. And they'll be able to put up some points. I don't know if they can stop anybody because they lost most of their defense.
Right.
No,
I don't think they'll win, but I do think I think the line will probably be like 35 or something like that.
Yep. But I think
and I think ASU can hold within 35.
Yeah, I think that might be a safe bet. Now, I like to leave the betting talk to you. You're kind of our in-house betting expert. But I don't, that doesn't sound crazy at all.
Yeah. And Oregon lost Darren Thomas and LaMichael James, so who knows?
Maybe. Yep.
And it's at 9:30 or 9 o'clock Central Time, which I really like. So then the whole game won't conflict with Arkansas's game or whatever other night games are on that night.
Yeah, that's so. Gonna be that's like a newspaper deadline nightmare, having a game kick off at 9 Central.
Oh, that's true.
But if you're looking to stay up late and you know, because I mean, man, you know what it's like right now. As a college football fan at this point in the year, there's just nothing going on. Like, and
right.
So there's so much buildup to that first weekend of football season. So to
have gotten so good at stretching that first weekend out too.
Yeah.
As South Carolina and Vanderbilt play on Thursday night, and then Friday night's Tennessee and NC State, and then Saturday. And they usually have one or two on Sunday and Monday, but I'm not sure what they have that this year.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that schedule yet, but yeah, they do a good job of kind of giving you an extended first season, and then that, you know, that ASU Oregon game I think will be fun to watch. I think it'll be entertaining for a number of reasons, and then that'll kick off Saturday and stretch into Sunday, so that you know what, that might actually make for a really good post, is like watching all of college football you possibly can from Thursday to Monday.
That's my plan, so I'll if you want me to write something about that, I'd probably pull something together before then.
I'll let you abuse yourself in putting that thing together.
One thing during the offseason I've been kind of impressed with among the Razorback fans is that I really don't think the coaching search has overshadowed the season. And I was really afraid that would happen when John L. Smith was hired in April, and I just looked at the calendar and I was like, good Lord, this is going to take longer than the presidential election. And this, I just really thought it would be every day, all day, everywhere, you know, John Gruden being seen at the powerhouse again or stuff like that. And I was really scared, but I think that's been kind of impressive, honestly, to see so much focus on the actual season and the games that are coming up. And it's exciting. It's optimistic even, which you don't always get around here.
Yeah, I think people are pretty excited about it, and I'm with you. I thought there would be a little more. I thought there would be more conversation on, and I'm about to do something that a lot of my media brethren won't admit to, but I do like to occasionally peek in and see what the message board folks are talking about. And there have been some threads about the coaching search, but
sure.
For the most part, you know, it's been pretty. The talk about Arkansas football has kind of centered on the product on the field, what they expect to see on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've been, you almost have to applaud the fans for doing that and not letting themselves get so wound up, you know, with a 9-month coaching search.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it'll all pick up again in what, late November, you know, right after that LSU game is, people will immediately begin, it'll be like, you know, DEFCON code level threat orange, and people will be freaking out about the coach. But for the most part, man, it's been pretty low key, and I like that.
Yeah, do you think if the Razorbacks lose, say, early to Alabama, that the focus will pick up more towards the coaching search than the season?
If they lose to Alabama?
Well, if they just start losing early. Like, if they do lose to Alabama, that's the third game of the year, and then that's a relatively difficult 4-week stretch they've got there.
Oh, that's kind. Relative.
Yeah.
that's putting it very nicely.
Well, a lot of people are overlooking Rutgers, and I don't think anybody should overlook Rutgers. And then, of course, you go on the road to Texas A&M and Auburn, and that will not be easy. But I wonder if that stretch doesn't go well. Do you think that people will start just focusing purely on the coaching search?
It'll definitely ramp up at that point. Like if they lose to Alabama, that's not that the ordinary. I mean, even Bobby Petrino, as great as he was, couldn't beat Nick Saban. So I don't know that the coaching search necessarily becomes a hot topic if they lose to Bama. But yeah, if they lay an egg against Rutgers and or A&M and or Auburn, then yeah, I think definitely you could start to hear, you know, a lot more conversation about it in the middle of the year. And then don't forget, you know, there's kind of these candidates, real and imagined. And so if, and I don't have their schedule in front of me, so this may be a completely ridiculous scenario, but let's say, you know, Vanderbilt and James Franklin, let's say they like start out 6-0 or something, which may be completely preposterous because of their schedule. But you know, if James Franklin and Vandy start out great, or you know, somebody that's perceived to be a candidate, you'll start to hear some conversation about that. But for the most part, I think Arkansas can keep it contained until closer to the end of the year. You know, as long as nothing really out of the ordinary happens, like a loss to Rutgers or, you know, getting beaten down in College Station.
Okay, the other side of the coin. Arkansas beats Bama, goes undefeated through that stretch, and Hogville fan has his dream scenario, and Razorbacks go undefeated. I'm sure you've probably gotten this question before, but do you see any situation that John L. Smith remains beyond this year?
Well, I mean, a national championship, it would be really difficult, you know, to tell a guy to hit the bricks if he wins at all.
Right.
Although, I mean, I've maintained that, let's say John L. does win it all, maybe he goes Chris Rock and throws the mic down and walks off stage. Like, you know, I mean, he may just be like, all right, that's my, you know, I've just delivered you the greatest joke of all time. I'm out. So maybe he does that, you know. Short of a national championship, I don't know that he'd be real serious consideration. And you know, and Jeff Long even said, like, after he hired him, like, they never gave him a set number of wins. So,
right.
And that was A, to not be locked into having to keep him, and B, to not have the conversation be all season, well, he hit 8, so I guess he's going to be here for sure. So, you know, they were smart enough to put a number on it.
I'm pretty extreme about it. I think under no circumstances should they think he's going to be back, even if they win the national title.
Wow.
I tend to look at this as like a Bill Stewart at West Virginia situation, when Rich Rodriguez left the program to go to Michigan right before the Fiesta Bowl, and Stewart came in, and he was a fan favorite, and they were big underdogs to Oklahoma, and they came in, and they crushed Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, they made him the head coach because everybody was just fell in love with him instantly, and that turned into a disaster. And that's how I see, oh, well, he, you know, led the team to, you know, a national title, even though we made this big deal about how he's going to stay out of it as much as possible when he got hired.
Right.
And he didn't put the team together or anything like that either. So I'm kind of extreme on that.
Yeah, I mean, that West Virginia thing was definitely a volatile situation, and they did that whole coach-in-waiting thing, which almost never works.
Right.
So I think definitely, like, if let's say they, you know, I don't know, let's say they win 9-10 games this year, I would definitely not be in favor of a situation where it's like, okay, we're going to bring John L. Smith back for 2013, but, you know, Coach X is the coach in waiting and will take over, and that seems like a recipe for disaster. But, you know, I mean, I think they've got a way to make it work. But by the way, this is completely unrelated to the conversation we're having. But I just opened up Facebook and someone poked me on Facebook. I didn't even know that was an option anymore to poke.
I don't even know what that means.
Okay, well,
I think I got poked one time, like 4 years ago.
I did not realize that was still a feature on Facebook, which I hate, by the way. Facebook is the absolute worst. But that's, we're not supposed to be talking about that. Like, we're talking about college football. But that's just the most random thing maybe that's happened to me this week.
If everybody would get off Facebook and get on Twitter, the world would be a better place.
No, sir. It would not be, because then all those people would just crap up Twitter.
Well, I don't have to follow them on Twitter, though.
Oh, that's a fair point. I mean, that is the great thing about Twitter. It's like, I actually get to pick who I follow and whose nonsense I want to put up with. And very rarely is anybody tweeting about, you know, their, I don't know. I was going to say they're dogs, but then I realize I sometimes tweet about my dogs. So,
but it's different on Twitter if you do it just like one at a time and not, you know, five a day or once every single day, every week.
Well, yeah. And
I think.
Yeah, and with Twitter, I'm opening up Twitter, and I won't do it now because it would make that Twitter noise, and that would be weird on the podcast, but... Like, I open up Twitter, and it's going to be, you know, four or five, like, news links in a row, things that are conversations that I'm interested in. Whereas with Facebook, I'm opening it up, and some dude's posted a picture of a dude in glasses, which I don't really care about. And then one of these e-cards that everybody seems to be crazy about, and some little kid playing the piano, and it's just, like, a whole bunch of stuff. And then some lady has a bull for sale, apparently. So if you want to buy a black bull... that's 3 years old, it can be yours for 1850.
Oh, only 1850?
Yeah.
So I have to put that on the Christmas list.
Exactly, yes. But, I mean, all that to illustrate, like, I completely, completely am behind Twitter. I just don't like your proposal that we put everybody on Twitter and shut down Facebook, because then I would have to know. I mean, I would feel obligated to follow people that I don't want to follow.
I wouldn't.
I like your style.
Back to football.
Yeah.
Something that I think is interesting is that with the whole expansion that we've been going through with A&M and Missouri officially joining the SEC last week, Arkansas, for the entire basically relevant history of Arkansas, has been the outpost school. You know, it was the only non-Texas school in the Southwest Conference, and even when it joined the SEC, it's still... so much farther away from all the other schools compared to the other SEC schools. Do you think with A&M and Missouri joining, that whole perception is going to go down at all, or do you think it's just going to be like the more outpost schools? And does that even matter?
Well, man, I think ultimately what keeps that perception from... I guess what keeps that out of the forefront or makes people look at Arkansas differently is like what we've seen the last couple of years, where they're a legitimate threat, you know, in the national championship hunt, and where even though they're clearly clearly the third best team in their half of the division, they are one of the 10 best teams in college football. And so I think that helps perception as much as anything. And yeah, I do think to some degree, I think now having a couple of other, you know, Western schools in the league, I think that helps tremendously. You know, Arkansas is no longer Clay Travis. Once called him, I believe it was Clay Travis, called Arkansas the Rico right. of the SEC. Like, it kind of belongs, but it doesn't, you know, yeah. but it doesn't. And so that's where Arkansas has been for years. I think becoming a national player helps that. And then I think, you know, A&M and Missouri actually being further out from the other schools, I think that helps. I mean, am I crazy for looking at it like
no,
that?
No, I think it helps, too. I think college football, more than any other sport, is based on perception. And there are people throughout the region, the SEC region, who, whenever they think about Arkansas, whether it's a high school kid getting recruited or it's a fan or whoever, they think of, whenever they hear Arkansas, they think of that school way out there who most of the time isn't really relevant. And I think now that, you know, Florida's opening the season, the SEC schedule, by playing A&M, and Georgia's opening by playing Missouri, I think that that's just going to be give Arkansas more of a feeling of inclusion and help other people in other parts outside of Arkansas get rid of that mindset of there's the traditional SEC and then there's Arkansas. And the more included Arkansas is, I think that's really big for the school.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, and it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a cycle. I mean, you've got to win to be in the conversation, but to get it, you know, and to get in the conversation, you got to win. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's, but I think Arkansas is there. I think they're on the upswing. I think if you look at it like at a bigger picture, and I was telling somebody this today, like one of the college football programs I really like to follow, and I have no connection to, and it makes no sense, is Oregon. And the reason for that is they're not one of the traditional powers. Mm-hmm. They are kind of an outpost school in the grand scheme of things, because, you know, they're not in the Big Ten, they're not an SEC school, but they're this kind of, like, you know, they're new money in college football. And right. So I almost look at Arkansas, even though it had some success in the 60s and 70s, I almost look at Arkansas in that role in the SEC. Like, they're kind of the school not a lot of people expected to be competitive, even though, I mean, they won the West 4 years into the SEC, you know, tenure. Yeah,
but forgotten Western title, 1995. Yeah.
But I think, I think a lot of people outside of Arkansas kind of have discredited them over the years. But I think Arkansas is becoming kind of cool to watch and to root for, because they're not the traditional SEC. They're not Florida. They're not Georgia. They're not Alabama. They're not LSU. But now all of a sudden they're good, and they have been good, and I hope that continues, because I think people will have a much more favorable opinion of them, and kind of like with Arkansas in basketball back in the 90s, mm-hmm. they became a really cool brand nationally, right. because they were different than what people were used to seeing, you know, in the SEC, and so I think that's entirely possible in football. You know, if to kind of bring it full circle, if you get the right coach and all that. But, yeah, I think Arkansas can kind of break through.
Can they design uniforms cool enough to put the Razorback uniforms on Oregon level?
Do you really want to go there with the uniforms? Do you really?
I was planning on saving uniforms for the SEO portion of the podcast, but...
I didn't mean to go there, but yeah, I mean, you know, uniforms. Do you want to go ahead and talk about Pepsi and Coke while we're at it? You want to get that out of the way?
That was my last thing on the outline here. Are you excited about Pepsi in the press box?
I don't know. Like, the only time I drink soda is during football and basketball season. And so I don't have a preference on which one I drink that makes me fatter. Either way, as long as I can get sugar and caffeine in me to keep me awake, I'm good.
I'm trying to think of how they could design a Razorback helmet like that really, really shiny Oregon helmet they had in the Rose Bowl. You remember that?
Yes. Yeah, that was it was kind of a mirror effect. Yeah.
Right.
That was pretty sweet.
Maybe if they had it like a kind of a glassy red and then like a reflective Razorback or something.
As long as you keep the hog on the helmet, that's the one thing that, like, you know, this whole idea to like tradition. This was these new uniforms were somehow an affront to tradition. You know, when Arkansas's changed the uniforms like four out of the last 5 years.
Yeah, they're not even the same uniforms McFadden wore. Right. Not even close.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. I mean, like, it has changed considerably since 06 and 07. So, but the helmet, like, I like the white helmet in that it actually is kind of a nod to tradition. Arkansas's first non-leather helmet was white. But just, you've got to keep the Razorback on it. Like, if the Razorback isn't on it, then we the terrorists have won.
Do you think they'll wear those black ones for Alabama and have a blackout?
I hope not.
Me too. I hope not. I think they might as well forfeit if they do that.
Yeah, I think that would do nothing but piss Alabama off. And not to mention, and I know it's supposed to be, you know, climate controlled and all that, but the dark uniforms are not going to play well in mid-September heat. It'll still be 90 degrees at kickoff.
Yeah, but somehow South Carolina always does better at the beginning of the year than the end, and they usually wear black or dark garnet. But I see your point, though.
Yeah, I just thought.
But it also makes me think of, remind me when I was a kid, and you really thought if you put a pair of Jordans on that you'd jump higher and run faster.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a lot of these teams, when they put on special uniforms that supposedly get the players all hyped up, that they usually lose. And I don't have any data to back that up, but that it feels like they usually lose. And I know when Georgia put on black jerseys to play about Alabama, and I think it was 08, they got blown out.
Yeah, that is the classic example. In fact, I was just about to go there. It's like, I don't have any data other than that game, and that's like all, that's all the data I need to know that that's like a, it's a terrible idea to do a blackout against Alabama.
They should do it against like Kentucky or something.
Yeah, or maybe Tulsa. Maybe late in the year. Maybe you could do it for LSU. But yeah, definitely. Definitely not for Alabama, man. That's just asking for trouble.
And definitely, if you do it, please don't make the fans dress in black.
Oh, because, man,
that would be awful.
The poor people are already out there, you know, having a drink Pepsi with their bourbon. What kind of indignity would it be to put them in black shirts? And
it's probably going to be on CBS, which means it'll be at 2:30 in the afternoon, and it'll be hot. And miserable.
Yeah,
let's just not do that.
Okay, we move on this podcast to veto a blackout for Alabama.
Yeah, we'll boycott that.
So mote it be.
Well, do you think, I think this is one of the more under talked about stories from last year, do you think the Little Rock games will sell out this year?
Oh man, I don't know how to get a read on that situation. You know, because there's like What does Little Rock have this year? They have
Ole Miss is the conference game.
And Monroe?
And, yeah, LaMo for what the contract says is the last time unless they renew the contract.
Yeah, and Jeff Long told me they do not plan to renew that contract. So that's not to say Monroe might not come back, but they won't be the quote-unquote home team anymore after this year. Oh, man, those aren't really exciting games. So I could see that not selling out. I think if they don't sell out, that also plays into the, you know, Little Rock doesn't need two games every year argument. And so well, I think Little Rock people are a proud people. So I think they'll come out just to show that they do want to continue that two games a year tradition.
I think even if it comes down to it, the city themselves should buy up all the last tickets just to at least say it was a sellout. Like in the NFL, how if the city doesn't sell out a game, they can black it out from TV. So sometimes the city will buy extra tickets just so that people of the city can watch the game.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea for the city of Little Rock. And, you know, I mean, they've made worse.
You can give them away to the Boys and Girls Club or something.
That's a great idea. And I was going to say, Little Rock has made worse investments, like a trolley system. But that's...
I guarantee you, as we speak, there may be no more than three people on that trolley.
I personally know of two people that have ever ridden the trolley, and they don't actually live in Little Rock, so...
I don't think any of the locals ever have ridden it. I think it tricks some tourists occasionally who want to go to the Clinton Library, and they're like, oh, this is, seems like a good idea. And then 5 minutes later, like, oh, we just wasted a little bit of money.
And a whole lot of time. Like, you could walk, yeah, you could walk,
we could walk faster than this.
Oh, we're going to get angry. Of all the things we're going to wind up getting angry emails about, Coke versus Pepsi, uniforms, Arkansas State talk, it'll be trolley system that gets us in trouble. Watch.
Hey, if people want to ride it, I'm all for it. It's there. It's hot. You want to, you know, cruise the River Market in a little bit of shade, you know, go for it. But you might be the only one on there. So last but not least, I mentioned the SEO portion of the show. And so I have to ask about Aaron Andrews.
Oh, you weren't kidding about the SEO portion of the show.
No, and not at all.
By the way, you have this is a dream scenario for you, because you get to tag this with Nike.
I know.
Gus Malzahn. Mitch Mustaine. If you could somehow work in Coke and Pepsi, if you could somehow work those all into the headline, your hits will go through the roof.
I know. And I'm telling you, I've planned this out. I've got an outline and everything. I have an SEO bracket down at the bottom.
Oh, you definitely know what you're doing, man.
So are you going to miss Erin on your ESPN shows, or are you going to watch Fox now that she's over there?
Fox
is Gus and Erin. That's a pretty good...
Gus
Johnson.
I'll say this. I didn't tune into ESPN because of Aaron Andrews. I might flip over to Fox just to see what... Because basically, what's my alternative now? I can flip over to watch Aaron Andrews in studio, or I can watch Lou Holtz dress up like a judge. Is that those are my options?
God, I hope they kill that skit. I really do. I hate that. And Lou Holtz's reason, my big reason why I don't think coaches should be on the selection committee. Because every week during the season, Lou Holtz is up there saying something that upsets somebody. And to me, that is what a lot of the old former coaches are probably like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, that's a great topic for another podcast, or for a trip to, have lunch or something, or an after dinner drink. But, I cannot believe that we could either talk about Aaron Andrews or Lou Holtz. And we have gone the Lou Holtz direction. This is really, really sad.
Well, there you go. That should answer the question.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. And
yeah.
Once again, the ArkansasSports360.com football preview will be out on the 16th. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'll be. It inserts with Arkansas Business on the 16th, and it'll be around the state and in Little Rock primarily within the next couple of days after that. But yeah, the week of the 16th, look for it. And I think people enjoy it.
All right, great. And if you aren't in Little Rock or Arkansas at all, you can order a copy online at Arkansas. Is it abpg.com, I think?
Yeah, abpg.com. Or just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll get you the at C-Bon or at ArkSports360, and I can point people in the right direction. And sometimes I might even mail you a copy, which I did with a couple folks last year. So,
well, there you go. Can't beat that. Will you sign it? Will you autograph it?
No. That would,
well, that's too bad.
That would devalue it beyond nature.
All right, thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks for listening to the Hog Call Podcast. This is, once again, Doc Harper. You can find this podcast on ArkansasExpats.com. That's the only official SB Nation blog for the Razorbacks. So until next time.